This morning I'm sharing with you a message that I have called Our Advocate. And again, we are involved in this series of messages called Walking with the Spirit and developing that intimacy. We kind of initiated this series of messages speaking about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and that is intended to be an intimate kind of relationship with the Spirit. I've made a connection with it's almost like a marital relationship in which we need to learn to live with our spouse in an understanding way. And we need to learn what is offensive to the Spirit of God, what grieves the Holy Spirit of God. We spent a significant amount of time on that. Last week we talked about not living in spiritual adultery with the Spirit of God and, cleansing our lives of the sin and those kinds of things that would prevent us from walking with the Lord or like that, or actually being separated from God, as can come to a point in our lives. If you weren't here last week, you need to get the CD, or I'll get it online after today, so you can connect with that and get that message from last week. A vital message for the direction that we're going as a church and what the Lord is doing in our day. But today where I'm taking you is an aspect of the ministry of the Spirit of God within us and through us and on behalf of Jesus for us. And so I'm just going to, rather than continually introducing, I'm going to go right to it. In John chapter, we're going to look at John chapters 14 through 17 this morning, different parts of that. And what I want you to see is Jesus is preparing for his departure. In John chapter 13, we'll see the experience of the disciples in the upper room with Jesus, that this is the time that he has expressed, they have celebrated the Passover together. Jesus washes the disciples' feet and shows them what real servant leadership is like. Jesus begins to describe about what's going to happen, how he is going to be betrayed, and how he's going to be handed over to the Roman soldiers. He predicts Peter's denial, although Peter says, "No, Lord, I'll go even to death with you, Lord Jesus," that kind of thing, and doesn't quite turn out that way. But anyway, these are the things that Jesus is setting up before he is betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, taken off to the crucifixion, his death and his burial, and then his resurrection. But so these are, kind of like last words of Jesus. He's expressing some very, very vital things that he wants his disciples to understand. So I'm just going to leave that picture up, if you like, for as I begin to read from John chapter 14. And I'll start with verses 1 through 14 before we go on into the notes with that. Jesus said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going." "No, we don't know, Lord," Thomas said. "We have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way?" Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would have known who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied." Jesus replied, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, so why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father, who lives in me, does his work through me. Just believe that I am the Father, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. You ask me for anything, yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Well, let's look at a couple of the things that Jesus is saying there. Again, he's expressing that he's going to the Father. This is his preparation for his departure. But what he begins saying it, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. So even the activity of the Lord Jesus in his separation from his disciples is an activity of preparation for the future. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then he expresses very plainly, I am the way to the Father. People, this negates all other religions. You know, when you say, you know, you hear people argument, you know, well, all religions lead to God, you know, just choose the one that you're... No, it's not true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the way to the Father. And then he goes on to say, you know the Father, you have seen him in me. Jesus is the exact representation of God. He was made in his image, and he exactly represents him. We know who the Father is by knowing who Jesus is. He goes on to say, you're going to do the same works I do because I am going to the Father. A few months ago, we were in the middle of the series of the gospel message, speaking of it as being the continuing narrative of the ministry of Jesus Christ through his disciples, through his followers. And here's what Jesus is saying, the works that I have been doing while you have seen me here in the earth, you're going to continue those works because I'm not going to be here anymore. Again, the preparation for his departure. Okay, so then Jesus gives an introduction to the Holy Spirit, and I'll have you look with me at verses 15 and 16. It says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. I guess I'm going to wait there and go on with that in a bit here, but let me just give the words that Jesus spoke by way of introducing the Holy Spirit. He said in verse 16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. Father will give you another advocate. So let's spend a little bit of time. That Greek word actually is the word parakletos, or sometimes you've heard it pronounced paraclete, or you know that's another form of the Greek word paraclete or parakletos. It means advocate, intercessor, consoler, or comforter. Sometimes you will see this. It's translated in different ways in different translations. Frequently it's translated comforter. I'm using the word advocate, which is another way it's translated this morning, because as you will see in the context of these words that Jesus is sharing, the Spirit of God is going to be this for Jesus, and not only an advocate for Jesus to us, but also an advocate for us to the Father. We'll see that as we go through here today. But an advocate is a person who pleads for or in behalf of another, or an intercessor. In fact, we'll also see this Jesus and the Spirit of God described as intercessors on our behalf as well. So the advocate, or the parakletos, is the Spirit of God who is introduced by Jesus at this point. Now, he uses another word there that we need to understand. He uses the word another when he says another advocate. Another. There are two possible Greek words for the word another. One of them is allos, which means one of the very same kind, and the other is heteros, which means one of another kind or a different kind. You'll recognize the word heteros as part of our English word heterosexual, means a person who has sexual relations with a person of the opposite sex. Same kind of being, but opposite sex. So one of a different kind. Okay, so there's the difference. Now in this, when Jesus is using the word another, he is using the word allos, which means another advocate or comforter or intercessor of the same kind as Jesus. So Jesus is going to go on to say, you know, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send another advocate or another comforter, one of the same kind as me. So in other words, I'm departing, but you're not going to be absent of me. I am going to be here. And we'll get into the details of how that's going to take place. So let's go on to verses 17 through 26. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, the Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and he will come and make, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I have told you. Okay, so here we see Jesus describing, again, the Holy Spirit as the Advocate. He is an advocate of Jesus. And here's the things that are going to happen as a result of that Advocate. He said he's going to be with you always. Jesus said to them, I'm not leaving you as orphans. In other words, I'm going, but yet I will be here in the sense of the Spirit of God. He will be with you always. It says he will lead you into all truth. And we're going to see more of that expression as we continue on in these chapters of John. He will lead you into all truth, and he's going to reveal and represent Jesus. Okay, so here's the Advocate with us on behalf of Jesus. So this is pretty cool, people. We have Jesus with us in the form of the Spirit of God. He will reveal and represent Jesus. It says he's going to remind you of Jesus' words. He will remind you of the things that I have said. Now, one of the things that we need to, you know, I just want to interject this here while this is, while Jesus is saying this. You know, it's of our benefit to be familiar with the words of Jesus. See this Bible? His words are in red. We ought to read the red. Read the red so the red gets red. Right? Okay? Read the red so the red is red. So that the Spirit of God has something to remind us of. If we're unfamiliar with the words of Jesus, we'll get into situations and the Spirit of God would impart knowledge, but we don't have it there for us to be reminded of it. So a good thing for us to do is to continue to read through the Gospels, make a practice of reading through the Gospels, and particularly read the red. It's not that you neglect the other, but make sure you're familiar with the words of Jesus, because the Spirit of God will take those things and remind you of those things so that we know what the will of God is, because Jesus exactly represents God and his will, and we'll know what the will of God is because we'll be reminded of the words of Jesus. Okay, very good. So he will remind you of Jesus' words. Also, he will intercede for you. We're going to see, this isn't specifically spoken in this passage that we just read, but we're going to see here as we continue on that the Spirit of God will be given, is given unto us to intercede for us. So it's not only an advocate of Jesus to us, but also an advocate of us before the Lord. Jesus said the world can't receive him. And that's important for us to note. We'll also see some more later in the scriptures that we're looking at how we are affected or how the world is affected by the things that we do and the things that we say. And we just need to keep that in mind, that the world cannot receive him. And Jesus makes this comment. He says, he lives with you, but he will be in you. And I believe that what Jesus is making reference to is the difference of the phenomena of what they were presently experiencing in the dispensation of their experience before the outpouring of the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost, where Jesus said, okay, he's with you now, but you know what? He's going to be dwelling in you. There will be a time coming, and I have to go so that he can come, and he will dwell in you. I want to get ahead of myself, but I'm just going to keep going on here because there's some really cool stuff with that reality of the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of us. Okay, so let's go on. We're going to look at John chapter 15, and I'm just picking out a few things here. It'd be great for you to read through the whole thing, but for the purpose of my message here, you know, Jesus goes on to speak about he is the vine, we're the branches. We're going to bear fruit if we're attached to the vine, and or we could get pruned away if we're not. or things in our life need to be pruned away if they're not bearing fruit. A lot of good stuff there in these last words of Jesus. But I want to, for the sake of this introduction of the Holy Spirit and what he is, how he is active in our lives, let's go to verses 26 and 27, where again he says, "But I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father, and he will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me, because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry." Okay, so here's these words. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. "I'm going to send you the Advocate," again. He says, "He will testify about me." And then he says to his followers again, you must also testify about me. Now here's something that's enlightening. When we go on into chapter 16, John chapter 16, let me read, I'm going to start with verse 5. And verses 5 through 7. "But now I'm going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I am going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you, and when he comes, he will convict the world." And we'll wait with that. Okay, just stop at 7 for now. "But Jesus said, it's best for you, or it's to your advantage." I think the New American Standard actually uses that word. "It's to your advantage that I go away." Now here, you know, a lot of times we think, oh, it would have been so great to walk with Jesus like his disciples did. Oh, it'd be so great to have him there physically, you know, that when you had a question, you could ask him and he could impart that wisdom of God to, so that you'd know exactly what God intended, you know, and those kinds of things. And it just would have been so much easier to walk as a disciple of Jesus if he was actually physically there. But Jesus contradicts that perspective. He says, you know what? He says, it's to your advantage, or it's best for you if I go away. Because if I don't, then the Spirit of God will not come. But if I do, I will send him. So what are some of these advantages of the reality that Jesus is going to be gone, but the Spirit of God is going to be here and the Spirit of God is going to be dwelling in? First of all, there's he said this, if I don't go, the Advocate won't come. But here's some of the advantages. And obviously, this is not an exclusive list. We would go on and on and on if we talked about all of the things that the Spirit of God is doing in our lives. But here's one of them, that the Spirit of God is spiritual rather than physical. Well, what's the advantage in that? Well, first of all, if Jesus were still here on earth physically, he would be limited by his physical being. In other words, he would only be in one place. Physically, he would be in that place. Like we see him, you know, walking through, you know, Jerusalem, Samaria, you know, he is limited physically. And so if we wanted to talk to Jesus or wanted to, you know, get an idea of what his will was, okay, let's fly to Israel, you know, so we can meet with Jesus. He's limited physically if that was the case. So we see the spiritual rather than the physical is a significant advantage because the Spirit of God is not limited by the physical dimension. Okay? So that's a distinct advantage there for us. Again, Jesus said he will be in you rather than with you. The Spirit of God is going to dwell on the inside of us rather than just being present with us. There's significant advantage to that. But here, I think, is probably one of the greatest things that we're, you know, attaching to at this point is unlimited access. You know, when anyone wants to sell you anything now that's a service for you, they want to sell you unlimited access. You know, you don't have to dial up and use your phone line anymore for internet when you have unlimited access. You're connected all the time, you know, so unlimited access, unlimited phone, you know, long-distance phone calls, you know, access all the time. That's one of the significant advantages. Well, again, to us, you know, if we were to consider, again, the difference between Jesus being with us, even with the 12 disciples, they had limited access. And Jesus, understanding that, spent specific time with Peter, James, and John. There were three that he separated off at times and dealt with specifically with them. There was limited access, but with the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of us, being spirit, not natural, not physical, there is awesome, unlimited access with Jesus by the Spirit of God as he is there as an advocate of Jesus. So how cool is that? Have unlimited access to the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. So again, those are just a few of the advantages. As Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. If I don't go, the Spirit won't come. So you wouldn't have that indwelling Spirit of God, that unlimited access of the Spirit of God. Okay, so again, also here I want you to see this, that with the Spirit of God as the advocate, we have the same kind of leadership or advocacy as Jesus. So if we are looking for what would Jesus do, you know, that was a popular WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, we have the Spirit of Jesus dwelling on the inside of us to ask that question and to get an answer. Okay, the Spirit of God is an advocate for Jesus. He's going to give us the information from Jesus as an advocate or a representative of Jesus. Now, and this is how Jesus was able to say this in Matthew 28:20. He says, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus was able to say that because his advocate, the Spirit of God, was going to dwell on the inside of us. So he says, "You'll always have me with you, even till, you know, this earth is gone, even to the end of this age, you'll have me with you." And this is how it was also able to be stated in Mark chapter 16 and verse 20, when it says that, "And the disciples went everywhere." This is after Jesus ascended. It says, "And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by the miracle, by the miraculous signs." The Spirit of God was Jesus working through the disciples. As he dwelled in them, as he empowered them, it was Jesus working through the disciples. So again, what advantage we have of the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of us, it is the same as Jesus living and dwelling in us. You know, we sometimes have kind of, unusual terminology that's kind of Christianese when we say, you know, have you invited Jesus to live in your heart? You know, and we think, well, okay, how does that work? You know, Jesus is in heaven with God and he's not physical. It does, you know, it's not a physical thing when we invite him. But what we're saying is this advocate of Jesus, the Spirit of God, will come and live and dwell in you. When you are accepting Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you are inviting the Spirit of God to be present in you. And then we speak of the empowering of the Spirit of God, filling us to empower us to live out this life. And so it is Jesus dwelling on the inside of us. It is Jesus in us, and that's how Jesus works through us and continues to be with us even to the end of the age. Okay, now Jesus goes on to speak about the work of the ministry of the Spirit of God in verses 8 through 15 of chapter 16. We'll look at that, verses 8 through 15. It says, "And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged." So there is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory and tell by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me." So again, Jesus continues to speak about the ministry of the Spirit of God as his advocate. And he says what he's going to do is he's going to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. He says he will guide you into all truth. So there again, we have this unlimited access to understanding truth. Says he will tell you about the future. Now that's not also that we can be you know, fortune tellers and palm readers and, you know, that kind of thing. But the Spirit of God will reveal, and we've talked about this in some of the past messages, how the Spirit of God will prepare us for the things that are to come, or to lead us into understanding, this is how you need to be ready, because this is where I'm taking you, or this is the direction that you need to go so that, you know, you will be walking in the will that I have for you. He'll tell you about the future, and also imparting information about Jesus, as he describes it there. He'll bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. So the Spirit of God will continue to impart to us the things that Jesus is saying. He is an advocate of Jesus. We'll bring glory to Jesus. John chapter 17, we're not going to go there really, other than to just make reference that this is Jesus' intercessory prayer. When we talk about an advocate, again, one of the words for advocate, it is also the English word intercessor, one who pleads the case of another on behalf of another. And we see Jesus actually doing this, going to the Father, speaking out loud so this prayer, his intercessory prayer, could be recorded. Some of the things that Jesus is saying in there, again, not going into a lot of the detail, but he's talking about, you know, Father, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I'm asking you to keep them from the evil one. And Lord, I'm asking that they might all be one, so the world will know that you sent me. You know, so there's several things that Jesus is praying in there. Again, just a wonderful thing for you to spend some time in, meditating, reflecting on what were the things. And Jesus goes on to say, Lord, God, I'm not only praying for these, but I'm praying for everyone who's going to hear this message from them, through them. So Jesus, at that time when he prayed that prayer, Jesus was actually praying for us. We would be on the receiving end of this message that was coming through the disciples generation after generation after generation, and Jesus said, I'm praying for them too. So he was praying for you. He had you before the Father way back then. Isn't that cool? So anyway, there's Jesus' intercessory prayer. And now what I want to go to is how the Spirit of God becomes an advocate for us in prayer. Not only an advocate for Jesus to us, but the Spirit of God also becomes an advocate for us in prayer. I'll have you turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verses 26 through 27. Romans 8, 26 and 27, it says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us, believers, in harmony with God's own will. Okay, so look at that, how the Holy Spirit connects. He's an advocate on our behalf when we come up short. It says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. It says we don't know what God wants us to pray for. Any of you qualify with that statement? Like, yeah. You know, this is where I need to interject the new text abbreviation that I initiated last week. Have y'all learned it now? NEI, not enough information. There's a lot of times where we go to prayer and it's like, NEI, Lord, send. You know, not enough information. And it's like, God, I don't know what's going on in their life, and I don't know how to pray for them. I don't know if this would be, you know, and yet sometimes we just want to generalize to say, okay, Lord, your will be done. Lord, your will be done in their life. As just bless them, whatever you want, God. Well, you know, and too many times we're cutting it short from what we could be effective in prayer, because what the Lord is saying in this passage of Scripture is that when we fall short of knowing what to pray, God has equipped us with the Spirit of God, enabling us to pray in symphony with God, or according to, in harmony with the will of God. The Holy Spirit prays for us. Some translations use the word intercedes. Again, there's that advocacy on our behalf. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us, prays for us. And the Holy Spirit pleads or intercedes for us in harmony with God's will. So when we're coming up short on the way to know how to pray, God has equipped us or given us an advocate to work together with us, and we'll see how this works together here in just a bit, but to work together with us to plead according to the will of God in our prayers. Hallelujah, that's cool. And, you know, it's described as groanings, inexpressible words. You know, these are some things that you may possibly experience in intercession. It's like, I don't know the words to say. And sometimes it's not even an unknown language, which we're going to go into here just a little bit, but just a groaning. Oftentimes prayer and intercession is spoken of as giving birth. You know, it's like birthing something in prayer. And if any of you have been around, you know, someone giving birth, oftentimes it includes groanings, inutterable words. You know, that's as graphic as I'll get. So anyway, but here the Spirit of God is given to us to enable us to pray according to or in harmony with God's will. Okay, now I want you to turn to, I was going to put this scripture in. Wait, verse 34. Again, I want you to see the activity of Jesus. Still in Romans 8, verse 34. I just added a couple of notes after I printed your notes. Okay, verse 34 says this in Romans 8. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us or interceding for us. Okay, so here again we see the advocacy of Jesus in the activity of the Spirit of God before the Father, pleading for us, praying for us, okay, offering up to the Father these things for us, an advocate for us again. Okay, and then this passage, Hebrews 7, I put this one up on the screen, Hebrews 7, 24 and 25, it says, but because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever. Therefore, he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. Okay, so we are a part of those that he has saved, and we are a part of those that he is before the Father interceding on our behalf. And the activity of Jesus is involved in the advocacy of the Spirit of God on the inside of us. When we don't know how to pray, the Spirit of God will connect together with us to pray on our behalf in line with the will of God. Okay. So we'll see a little more detail of that now where we're turning to in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And these passages of Scripture I would like to share with you from the Amplified Bible because it amplifies it out enough for us to be able to understand a little more clearly, I believe. Now there is a lot in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and in some regard I feel like I'm going to be too brief in this, but it's okay. It's appropriate for the direction of the message today. Specifically in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, there is detail concerning two types of speaking with other tongues. Let me start by sharing verse 2. Again, I'm going to share from the Amplified Translation. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things that are not obvious to the understanding. Okay, so let me put these words up first and then just comment a little bit. One who speaks in an unknown tongue. We're talking about this connection with the Spirit of God as an advocate helping us in our praying. One who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks to God, it says, in the Holy Spirit. Okay, or we are giving voice to the Spirit of God, dwelling on the inside of us, praying in harmony with God and God's will. In the Holy Spirit, he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Okay, so this is our weakness. We don't understand. NEI, not enough information. There's things I don't understand, but what this is saying is you can give voice to the Spirit of God by speaking in these unknown tongues. When one speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks to God. Okay, so there's this distinction of of tongues that is to God. We recognize that as prayer. If we were to continue on in 1 Corinthians 14 and look at all the detail in that passage of Scripture, we would also see another expression of speaking in tongues that is God speaking to His people and needs interpreting. Okay, that's one of the gifts of the Spirit, speaking in other tongues and interpreting those other tongues. And that is so that people are edified, so that people are understand, you know, what's being spoken in another language. And exactly why God chooses to do that, I'm not sure. Why not just use the language of the people that are there? I mean, I've heard of, you know, supernatural things that have happened where a person speaks in an unknown tongue, unknown to him, but it's a known language, it's a known tongue to someone who is sitting in the congregation. And they see this is an obvious act of God that is happening here. And it goes on to say, you know, tongues is for unbelievers. You know, when they're when they see that, express that, they know that God is working in their midst. God is manifesting himself. But also, just make note of this. I just have to give a little more detail. I'm sorry. But in chapter 14 and I'm in chapter 12. No wonder I can't find it. I should have been a little bit more prepared. Which verse is it? I can't find it in the Amplified, where it says that God speaks to his people through an unknown lips and a strange tongue. God speaks to his people. Yes. Thank you. Verse 21. It is written in the Scriptures, I will speak to my own people through strange languages and through lips of foreigners, but even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. This is what Paul, as he's giving instruction concerning tongues, this is where he's talking about tongues as God's word to people that needs to be interpreted. So there is distinctly, and this is one of the things that sometimes becomes confusing, is when you talk about speaking with other tongues, you know, there is this aspect of prayer where we are, as it says here, speaking to God. And there is another aspect of tongues that is God speaking to his people in an unknown language that needs to be interpreted for the people to be edified or for the people to understand. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about the two separate aspects of speaking with other tongues. If you want more, go ahead and study through 1 Corinthians 14, and it explains it very clearly there. But it says in this, it says, in the Holy Spirit, he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Here's people where we can go beyond the limitations of our minds to be able to declare these things to God about God. We sang the song this morning. How can I ever say enough? You know, how can I keep from singing? How can I ever say enough? You're amazing. I'm sorry. How amazing is your love? How can I ever say enough? See, we get caught in that and we go, how can I ever say enough? Okay, I can't. I can't say enough. Well, we may not ever be able to completely, absolutely say enough about God, but why don't, when we get caught up short with our understanding, begin to speak things out that are beyond our understanding, giving voice to the Spirit of God so that in the Holy Spirit we utter secret truths and hidden things that are not obvious to our understanding, and we flip over into we go into a language where we are giving voice to the Spirit of God to help us utter these things to God. How can I ever say enough? I can't, so I'm going to give voice to the Holy Spirit. You know, and we give voice to the Spirit of God. Why limit ourselves to our minds are so, you know, little when it comes to the things of God. Why would we do that? Just limit ourselves to our understanding when there is so much more to express to God. And when we fumble in that area, how can I ever say, Lord, I don't know how to pray. Okay, let's give voice to the Spirit of God. That's what he's saying. The Holy Spirit is an advocate for you on behalf of you before God to speak out these things. You don't know what to say. He's there with us. He's an advocate with us before God. Okay, so verse 14, chapter 14, verse 14, it says, For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. But my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody. Okay, so prayer in unknown tongues. Again, my spirit by the Holy Spirit in me prays. So it's really to our advantage to have the Holy Spirit in us, enabling us to pray in a way that we wouldn't otherwise be able to. Now, what happens when that's happening is that our mind is unproductive or our mind is unfruitful. This is one of the things that catches people the most from being free with praying in unknown tongues. I don't understand. It makes no sense to me. Well, so what? If God says that it's speaking to God in things that would otherwise not be understood by the mind, if God says that it is the Spirit of God in me praying, so what if your mind doesn't understand? Give voice to the Spirit of God. Why do you want to limit your prayer and your praise life to what you can understand? God's a whole lot bigger than what you can understand. So open it up. When you say, how can I ever say enough? Or when you say, I don't know how to pray, give over to the Spirit of God and begin to speak with that language, which is the Spirit of God speaking out of you. How awesome and miraculous is that, that you can give over to a language that you haven't learned? Jim, you didn't even need to know English. You know what? Jim was telling me before the service, he knew this man who spoke four languages, and he said, how about you? Do you know more languages? And he says, well, when I master English, I'll have mastered one, or I'll know one. And so we don't even need to completely master a language to be giving ourselves over to the Spirit of God as an advocate, praying together with us according to the will of God. So that's pretty awesome. Now, here, we can have one of two conclusions. When I write down two conclusions, some of you thought, okay, there's a pastor who doesn't want to quit when he knows it's time to quit. He's not going to have just one conclusion, he's going to have two conclusions. But that's not the case. What I'm giving you is a choice between your conclusions, the conclusions that you can draw from this message. I'll let you know ahead of time, the first choice is not a good one. Okay, the first choice, conclusion number one, is for you to say, you know what, this is all foolishness. You hear people speaking in other tongues, and you know, if you watch any amount of TV where they bring up some spiritual thing about tongues, you know what they're going to make it to be. This is foolishness. And these are the two reasons why, scripturally, these are the two reasons why. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Okay, so when the mind is unfruitful, people oftentimes will just disregard it as foolish. This is foolishness. But those people who are going to connect with the Spirit of God and those people who read the Word of God and believe that it's true will say, you know what, I don't understand this, but that doesn't make it of no sense. That doesn't make it foolish. Those who are spiritual will understand. And here's the other reason is what we already heard Jesus say, the world can't receive him. They're not looking for him. They don't recognize him. The world can't receive the Spirit of God. So when they're, you know, going to make a notation of these people who speak with other tongues, they're going to say, what a bunch of gibberish. What a bunch of foolishness. That's one conclusion. I'm going to encourage you, do not conclude that. You know, do not, you know, for yourself, when you're speaking with other tongues, if you do, don't say, what am I doing this for? It makes no sense. It doesn't make sense to your mind, but it's the Spirit of God. You're giving voice to the Spirit of God. The other is, you know, if you do not yet speak with other tongues, don't let this aspect of your mind not understanding prevent you from doing it. Recognize, according to the Word of God, that the Spirit of God connects with you in your prayer to pray out things that are according to God's will that are beyond your ability to understand. Okay? So here's the other conclusion then, which is concluded by Paul in verse 15. He says, then what am I to do? Or in conclusion then, or this is what he is coming to as a conclusion. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is in me, but I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. I will sing with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will sing intelligently with my mind and understanding also. Okay, so conclusion number two, which is the conclusion I hope that you will wrap yourself around this morning, is to pray with both your spirit and your mind, to sing with both your spirit and your mind. It is the Holy Spirit in you. Remember when he said up in verse 2, you know, when I pray in an unknown tongue, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in me prays. Okay, so I'm going to invite Loretta to come on up to the piano, and we're just going to clinic this just a little bit, okay? Meaning, we're going to give practice to not only speaking with our minds, but also speaking by the Spirit, and singing. And see, when we're doing praise and worship, and we, you know, like oftentimes come to the end of a song, and we'll go off, I'm going to encourage you, give voice to the Spirit of God to speak those things to God that are beyond your mind and understanding. Okay, so let's just stand together and give us some kind of chord progression, Loretta, that we can just exercise some freedom in this. I'm just going to encourage you in this. Don't close up. Don't check out yet. This isn't going to be a long thing here going on, but let's just give some practice to this that I have spoken. First of all, Father, we just want to thank you for the indwelling Spirit of God. Thank you that on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God was poured out in such a way that we would be able to be empowered by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit, equipping us to live out this life of Christianity in the power of the Spirit, in the fruit of the Spirit, in the character and the nature of God developing on the inside of us and being expressed through us by the Spirit of God. And we thank you for the advocacy of the Spirit, representing Jesus to us and continually dwelling in us by the Spirit of God being present in us. And also the advocacy on our behalf to pray out things that we don't understand. And that you have given us the ability to do that, Lord. So let's just practice a little bit of praying to God. This isn't something as a word from God that needs to be interpreted. We can just pray out. Bresta lore brande estabra kitovrosto lorobo estevra tataraba kibresta nama endovroste stelaba ebrasta kitiata ostele vriataramando ostambra endabesta broste ke alava sto stevranaba telabo ebre ekiasta sto vreste taramondo lelaba kibresta ostevra estavrotamo elarama. And in English, Lord, we thank you. We're so grateful. We're blessed by Jesus going to be with you and imparting the Spirit of God to us to live and dwell in us. Thank you for the advantage of having the Spirit of God and that unlimited access to the Lord by the Spirit who dwells on the inside of us. Unlimited access to the truth that the Spirit of God would impart to us and to the knowledge of those things which are to come. Lord, help us to become more and more sensitive to the work of the Spirit of God on the inside of us, more and more receptive to Him imparting the knowledge of Jesus to us, revealing Jesus' will and understanding to us. Broste lela, ketama branara, ste lavrosta, ste larava kebro, inaba brianda vasto, kebreste, lelava. And let's give voice and song to our praise to our Lord. Oh Lord, we worship you, oh Lord. We worship you, oh Lord. With our known language, we declare the things, all the things that you have done. You have saved us. You have healed us. You have cleansed us, Lord. You turned our lives around. You set our feet on solid rock foundation. Oh, Lord. And how can we ever say enough? We come short, so we give voice to the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Bro levando vre, stevrando sto mokole, vista brando lo vro sto che, stella monde ne vanda vre, se lo vrondo ta proste che ta branda lo, e lo vro sto bre che, lo vrondo proste, e lo vrondo proste. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, nero mondo prestera, nero pronto prostera ve, Jesus, Jesus, lo levrondo ve. I want you to understand, I feel like the Lord wanted me to share this as well, that when we are putting ourselves in this place where we are giving voice to the Spirit of God, we are sensitizing ourselves to hear His voice back. And, you know, so if there's things that we are, you know, seeking God, it's like, Lord, I don't know, I don't understand. And so we offer those things up in prayer beyond our understanding, but we are also opening ourselves up to receive understanding, to receive revelation from the Lord. It's like we're sensitizing ourselves. And this is a part of walking with the Spirit, to sensitize ourselves so that we know what His desire is. We know where He's leading us. We know the steps that He has ordered for us. We're putting ourselves in a place where we're much more sensitive to listen to Him. Well, Father, I just thank You for the opportunity to declare these things today, these things concerning Your word and Your will. And I pray, Father, that we will just go from this place today having been sensitized to the activity of the Spirit of God as we walk with the Spirit in an increased intimacy, being careful not to offend the Spirit of God in our lives, ever drawing more and more close. Thank You for the advocacy of the Spirit of God, being an advocate for Jesus and also an advocate for us. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.